Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 30th of July, 2021. A notable day for some people who may or may not have gotten married on this day. And if you did, happy anniversary. It is Friday, which could mean only one thing. I have a special guest here to help you stay extra awake tonight as we tell you horror stories because it's Security Friday. I have Andrew Orr with me. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone. We are here again.
Once more. Hopefully today we do have some good news. We have a couple of things to explain and a couple of sort of defense tactics we can use to help you with some stuff. But we're going to get into it right now with Apple and a legal threat from Apple. People take Apple to court all the time, but this is Apple going after someone else for a change.
Yeah, and this sort of thing isn't really new, but it's still interesting. It's notable.
Yeah.
Motherboard reported that Apple has sent a cease and desist letter to a Chinese citizen who advertised stolen iPhone prototypes on social media. Sounds like it's Twitter in this case. Mm-hmm. Now, they write how there is a gray market for these sort of things. Workers at these factories smuggle these devices out of the manufacturing facilities, and they get sold to collectors, or they also point out, or maybe hackers looking to develop some exploits for these iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Unmitigated access to that hardware, particularly because with a prototype, sometimes those things, obviously, if it's a prototype, it's not necessarily going to closely resemble the finished product. So that might make it easier to get in and get a good look around and figure out, you know, some other ways that you could jailbreak or even just out and out get access to a phone that is access you should not have. So.
Yeah, because a prototype, you know, being a prototype, it may not have the full, you know, encryption security stuff in place.
Right. And that's both hardware and software. That's part of what makes them kind of notable in this case is that they're sort of internal devices. So, So Apple's going after somebody who was... smart enough or not smart enough, I'm not sure which, to go on Twitter and advertise, like, I have access to these things. Would you like to buy it from me? So,
right.
Yeah.
So in this case, Apple's letter, they want the seller to stop acquiring, advertising, and selling these leaked Apple devices and asked for a list of their sources. Like, it sounds like it's like... they're not really going after these resellers themselves. They probably want to know more about who's stealing them in the first place. And it sounds like they sent more than one of these letters. It's the full number isn't known, but Motherboard says in 2019, an investigation by us had revealed other sellers, but it's just unclear how many of these letters Apple has sent.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well... then, obviously, as we find out more about this, we will let you know here. We have another interesting story. Again, this is a topic we talk about a lot, and that's VPNs. But this is the intersection of law enforcement and VPNs, and that's not usually a good intersection if we're talking about it here.
Yes. So in this news, Windscribe... this is a Canada-based company. They have a VPN, and it sounds like maybe other privacy tools as well. So according to Ars Technica, their VPN servers in Ukraine were taken over by authorities, and they were able to do so because they didn't encrypt those VPN servers. So it says this lapse made it possible for the authorities to impersonate Windscribe servers and capture and decrypt data passing through them.
Oh, yay. That sounds exciting. Yeah, that's what you want. Now, we will definitely dig into things like VPNs because it's important. And there's a lot of the same concept behind the private relay stuff that we know is coming as part of iOS 15. Or iCloud, no, it's coming as part of iCloud Plus. I think it's supported on iOS 15 and on Monterey. Mm-hmm. And we'll hear more about it. And we will dig into the concept of it and why it's a good idea to have one. That's an excellent explainer. If you would like that to happen sooner than later, you can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And if you do that, we use your feedback, we will highlight it here on the show. But we will talk about why it's a good idea or a not good idea, you know, depending on the situation, to be using a VPN. And in this case, the problem is that it's unencrypted. So because there is a record on the servers of the traffic that's on them, anybody can just go read it. Now, is it very interesting? Yeah. No, you can slice and dice this stuff. So it's possible they may just be searching against the records that are on the servers, you know, who was going to where and what's the exact URL. And, you know, everybody was posting to this Facebook page, you know, and things like that. And when the government is going after something like a VPN server, it doesn't look good for anybody. And so it'll be interesting to find out if we ever hear what it was that they found out as a result of having these servers that, you know, who got in trouble and what they get in trouble for, basically.
Yeah, that'll be the piece to worry about. We're going to dig deeper into VPNs in the future, but I think the most important thing for people to understand is that with the VPN, you're essentially just temporarily replacing your ISP with another company. Like, instead of having your internet browsing go through Charter, you're using Charter's internet, but your web traffic is being funneled through the VPN servers. So you really, really have to read their privacy policies and just read up about whatever company you're interested in, because in this case, it's possible they too could still see your traffic.
Yeah, and that's... there are a number of things that go into making sure that the traffic that you're generating is in fact secured. And there are some things that you can do to help that. And there are some things that can't be done. You know, if you're using a particular kind of connection, there's a certain amount of that that's going to be available if somebody really wanted to. So it's really just a matter of making it as hard as possible or as obscured as possible so that it's too much work to try and track down what you're up to. Because if you can make it really hard, unless somebody's going after you specifically, then if it's really hard to get at your traffic and everything, it sort of works like people who steal cars, right? They don't necessarily want your car. They just want a car or the stuff out of a car. Mm-hmm. And so if you lock your doors and roll up all the windows and there's nothing interesting on the seat, like, you're going to be a less interesting target than the car with the windows down or the doors unlocked, because that's a much easier target. So anything you can do to make yourself a harder target is always going to be helpful. Like Andrew said, we'll talk about that. We have another one today. This is directly related to our practical tip, and that is talking about using social engineering to spread malware. And so part of the problem here is that there's been an uptick in malware distribution via social servers, so like Discord.
Yeah, so Sophos reported, researchers from them, they are an antivirus company, they were investigating the use of TLS, which is a type of network security used by malware. They found that more than half of network traffic generated by malware did use this type of encryption, and 20% of that involved the malware communicating with legitimate online services. Now, they also found that 4% of this malware came from one service in particular, and that is Discord. And like Kelly said, they say they found malware that used Discord chatbot APIs for these command and control servers. And they used, talking to Discord users and trying to trick them using a technique called social engineering. They don't really say a whole lot about the types of malware. They do mention password hijacking as one example.
Okay.
So definitely, I'd say protect your Discord with two-factor authentication.
Yeah. Anytime you can use two-factor is always going to be the thing to do. And just like any other network, any other sort of social interaction, you definitely want to I always say be about 10% skeptical. It doesn't matter. Like if I get something from Andrew and Andrew didn't tell me it was, you know, didn't tell me the email was coming, I'm always going to be a little bit like, I'm not entirely convinced. Like I'm inclined to believe it, but there is no timeline where Andrew just sends me an email and says, hey, open this. And there's a weird attachment. Like, right. No, it doesn't matter what branch of the timeline you are in and whether it's a sacred timeline or not, there is no chance that that's happening. So now if Andrew goes, oh, I can't text it, let me email it to you, and I know I'm getting a movie file and what he sends me is a movie, that's a slightly different scenario. But what we want to talk about right now, like the practical tip for this week is social engineering. So you hear this a lot about social engineering hacks. And basically what a social engineering hack is when the weak point in the security around something is the person involved. So
yeah,
you hear a lot about things being socially engineered, whether it's a social engineering hack or a social engineering scam or things like that. A prime example of a social engineering scam is the people who call members of your family and say, there's something wrong with your computer. You have a virus and I'm here to help you fix it. Because A, it makes that person sound like a good guy. B, all they want to get from you is your credit card number so that they can, you know, bill for their time. And C, they are betting on the fact that you are on the phone with them, that particularly older people have been conditioned that it's rude to hang up on someone. And so they won't hang up. And the longer they stay on the phone, the easier it is to get talked into doing something that you normally wouldn't do otherwise. So,
yeah. And just as another example, I've legitimately read this in the news before. This actually happened. I don't remember when, but this person, this scammer, had called this elderly woman pretending to be her grandson and saying something like, hey, I'm in jail. Can you help me out? Can you send me money for, you know, bail? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she sent him money.
Yeah. That's another one of those things, or you'll get emails that look like they're from somebody in your contact list, you know, telling you to go to some sketchy looking link or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, that's always the thing to be aware of. And part of social engineering, like I said, is being 10% skeptical. I don't know. Andrew's percentage may be way higher. as far as I know, Andrew never reads email from me. So it's entirely possible that's how he's being secure, is just never email him because he's never going to look at it. I'm not entirely incorrect about that. the thing you have to worry about with social engineering is the other people involved. So like this is a chatbot thing. So it might say like, you know, click here to speed up Discord, or if you're having connection issues, click here for a diagnostic tool, you know, that sort of stuff. These are the sorts of things, you know, because then it'll be like, we're going to install a little utility on your computer in order to check your connection speed. And that sounds legit, but it totally isn't. That's the stuff to worry about is particularly if you don't have a 100%, it doesn't have to be like in-depth knowledge, but if you don't have 100% conceptual knowledge of like, I know how this is supposed to work, and like, you don't have to install anything for me to test my connection. I can look at my Wi-Fi connection and see if it's strong. I can do a speed test and see what my connection looks like. So I don't need to install a thing just to find out if Discord is working okay. And if you have sort of a low level of knowledge, like it doesn't take a ton of functional information to be able to draw some of the conclusions from some of these things. So, so it's always a good idea, be a little bit skeptical, even if it appears to be coming from someone you know. And part of that is because these things get more and more refined all the time. The Apple receipts that you see in your email, those have started looking more and more legitimate particularly in the last few months. I've gotten a couple, we've renewed Spotify. And I'm like, you can't renew Spotify. I don't subscribe to Spotify. So for me, that was a very easy one to tell. I think this is fake. But lots of people subscribe to Spotify. So you, they may see that and go, oh, okay, I should just, you know, click the link and yeah, it's fine. It's not fine. So those are the things you have to sort of be aware of is if you are about to click on something in an email, take a good look at it first and make sure. And the same goes for a link on Discord. If you're in Slacks, you know, different, if you're on different Slack instances for different sorts of things, all that kind of stuff can all end up being like attack vectors, basically. So you kind of have to be a little bit suspicious of all of it, because if any of it gets through, it could be really, really devastating depending on, you know, what it is they're trying to do with your computer or your phone.
Yeah. And I just remembered, so I tweeted about this, I think it was last week. I got one of those weird emails where it was something like, you know, it was one of those, we have $83 million in this account for you. Mm-hmm. We're sending it through USPS. But, you know, you just have to give us your, you know, phone number, email and address just to make sure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you're sending it through, if they said we've already sent it through USPS, and I'm like, well, they already have my address. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to put $83 million in a box and mail it to me, you should have checked for my address before you put it in the mail. Call it a hunch. Yeah, so if you've... Here's one last thing for today. If all of this sounds like too much and you've decided that you just want to give up on all of it forever and you know, move someplace rural and churn butter instead of hang out on Facebook and Twitter, you can do that. Andrew found a book for $1 that he's going to read. Tell us a little bit about it, Andrew.
Yeah, so as I made this as our one of our cool stuff founds, I found this through this app called BookPub. As I said in my CSF, you should be using BookPub if you like reading, especially ebooks, because it just gives you a daily list of here are some books in your genres that are on sale. And one of them is a book called How to Disappear by Frank Ahearn. And I think there's a co-author too. He is, or he was, a skip tracer.
Okay.
So this is a book coming from my professional. I looked it up. So skip tracing is the process of tracking down people who are particularly hard to find, whether they're persons of interest, fact witnesses, debtors, or other individuals. This is, that definition is from tracers.com. So this is kind of a manual. Like Kelly said, it's only $1. If you're interested in kind of wiping away your online presence, maybe check this out. So I haven't read it yet, but I did, of course, buy this book. So that's going to be on my future list.
Yeah. So, yeah, Andrew's going to let us know how that goes. And if there comes a point when suddenly Andrew's not on the show anymore and we don't talk about it, you'll find out that all of that stuff worked. Right. So there you go. That's going to do it for us today. As I always tell you, if you have questions that or concepts that you would like for us to talk about on the show, something that makes a nice practical tip, particularly if it's something that you were getting a lot of questions about, and then you can just point people to, you know, go listen to this episode of Daily Observations and they will explain it all for you. We're happy to do that. You can get us, like I said, at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And as always, have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.